Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me today is Jake Pudela. He's a Maricopa County native, and he has been part of a UP Energy Crisis Explained study, and he's going to explain what that is. First of all, let me welcome Jake to the program. It's good to have you on here.
Thank you, Rick. It's great to be here.
You do pop up in different stories every now and then because you're very active and you're a very young man, and so it's good to see just any young person that's been as active as you have been and have been since you were in high school. So I thought it would be a good place to start with just kind of introducing you to the people, because we're starting, you know, as we're starting to hear more about you now, I bet this is just the tip of the iceberg as you're going to be, around and active in years to come. So, where do you call home?
Well, I currently am going to college in Lansing, starting off at a community college to save some money, do my prerequisites, and then I plan on transferring maybe to Michigan State or Northern Michigan University. And right now I'm studying political science. So I've always had a passion for politics, for advocating for issues that are important, especially for the UP. And in Lansing, a lot of people, they're not aware of what's going on up here, and they don't really know what the big issues are, what the hot topics are. So I'm down there trying to raise attention to these issues and be a voice for the UPers.
What high school did you graduate from?
I graduated from Berrigan High School in May of 2017. And then this past summer I did some work in the UP, some campaigns, and then I went down to Lansing, and I'm currently doing this fellowship with the Michigan Conservative Energy Forum, and they wanted somebody to look into UP energy issues since we're in a crisis right now, and I jumped at that opportunity because, I've seen firsthand how expensive it is for energy here, for electricity, not only for people, but for businesses when they want to move here, when they want to expand. The energy isn't there sometimes in the first place, or if it is there, it's so expensive.
How did this opportunity fall to you? I mean, being a young student at a community college, and this is a big task to take on.
Well, I knew a few people who were involved in the program prior to me joining, and this is actually the first year they had this fellowship program. So what they did was they took five students from around the state, and each student picked a research topic. And like I said, being from the UP, I was really passionate about our energy crisis and ways we can solve it and just what the issue is in the first place. So I really wanted to start the conversation and educate people up here just to, what the problem is and how we can solve it, a couple steps.
How much experience prior to getting involved with this had you had with the situation here with energy in the Upper Peninsula?
Not a ton. I didn't have a large amount of research or time invested on this topic, but I have interned with Senator Tom Casperson, and being involved in campaigns here and there in the UP, the topic comes up almost every time we have an event or we're talking to voters, because people, they're getting fed up at how much they're paying. And in Berrigan County, for example, it's 30% higher than the national average for energy costs. So people are really starting to pay attention, and when they see their bill every month, they're asking, why is it so expensive?
All right, well, let's go ahead and start there. Your title of your study was called UP Energy Crisis Explained. And when you went into this, did you already have any kind of preconceived ideas of, what you were going to find, or did you enter with a complete open mind?
Well, I tried to enter with a complete open mind because you never know what you're going to come across. And I've talked to quite a few people involved in decision making. Some of the policymakers, lawmakers, Representative Lefebvre, he's on the Energy Committee, Senator Casperson, he's been involved with it. And I just wanted to go in and, listen and see what they had to say and what the problem was and some solutions that they're proposing, or just what their thoughts were on the topic, so I could form my own opinion and really hammer down on this study.
What surprised you most that you may have learned while you were doing it?
Well, the number one thing was the Upper Peninsula and the people that live here, we pay more for energy than any state outside of Hawaii. So we have the second highest costs in the nation, even more expensive than Alaska. And that was a really eye-opening statistic, not only for me, but for people who have to pay, for their businesses or for their homes. They didn't know. A lot of people are like, they're used to paying this rate.
Yeah, we know they're high.
Yeah. And some people didn't even realize, just how bad it was here compared to other states or even places more isolated than the UP.
Yeah, if you haven't lived anywhere else, then maybe just that experience of having, from being downstate, having energy supply through DT Energy and Consumers Energy, yep, and getting a little bit of sticker shock when it came to getting a you know, electric bill, the gas bill is actually pretty good right now, but energy is still kind of high. What did you find was the reasons for us having so much?
Well, the two main issues that came up were availability and reliability. You know, right now, a lot of our energy comes from the Presque Isle power plant, and that's one place. And if that were to go down, then, you know, entire parts of the UP economy would shut down, and the plant is planning on being closed in the coming years. So there's been some progress made on that front. We have a natural gas plant being built in Pelkey Township, or Pelkey right now, Berger Township, and another one in Negaunee Township. And those two will produce kind of a cleaner type of natural gas, and they'll also replace the Presque Isle power plant when it closes in the next coming years.
I've had people from the state here on this program who have told me that though it will increase reliability, will not decrease the cost. That you know, they're in the business of generating energy, but our energy will still be sold to us through the utility companies. Mm-hmm. And just because they built these power plants and now the availability is there doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to see, you know, a bunch of bills go down. For one, somebody's got to pay for the power plants.
Right. And that's the second part, is we need to increase our focus on some renewables. And one of the biggest issues is, you know, with a lot of other issues, is when the government mandates certain things. Right now, they mandate a certain percentage of renewables that has to be produced by the utilities. But they also guarantee a profit margin for the companies. So I think it's at 10% right now renewables. They mandate companies produce that amount of renewables, but they also guarantee a profit margin for the companies, meaning that the companies can they have to produce this renewable energy at any cost as long as they get their profit margin. So some renewables are inherently more expensive to produce, and when companies are mandated to produce that while still guaranteed a profit margin, that drives costs up for everyone. So it's another example of government mandates and really a form of a subsidy that's driving up costs because it's subsidizing certain types of energy.
Okay. In the local area, you mentioned LaFave, but and of course Casperson, but did you talk to other people from here, from KBIC, the tribe? Did you talk to Michigan Tech? Did you talk to our utility providers?
I talked to a professor at Michigan Tech who was involved in some of the transportation aspects of it, just, you know, the grid and how we can get power up here. And that's another thing. Some ideas were to bring power from downstate or from Canada, but those are deemed to be too expensive, and ultimately it wouldn't work in the long run because the cost was so high to run lines from downstate, either across the bridge or from Canada. So that was something that was being looked at not too long ago, but unfortunately just the cost of it would really make it ineffective because it wouldn't lower costs at all for ratepayers.
All right. What conclusions or solutions did you kind of see possible by doing the study?
Well, looking into renewables, we have wind, we have some hydropower, we have solar. There's some projects right now in the Keweenaw with potential wind turbines. Some laws that need to be changed, referring to solar net metering. Right now, state law says a company must provide 1% for solar net metering, but then once they reach that 1% limit, the company can cap off the program and not accept any new people into it if they want to generate power through the company with solar panels.
Explain net metering for those that don't know it.
Well, really what it is a business or a house, if they want to generate some solar power, they can sell some of the power back to the power companies. And right now, currently, UPCO has reached their limit. So 1% of their energy has been produced by solar, and they capped off the program. So new people who want to have a small-scale installation for solar or business, they cannot right now. So it'd be really, really helpful if we could look at that law or put pressure on UPCO to increase the cap, because a lot of people want to generate some renewable power at the house, and it would drive costs down considerably.
What's the disadvantages of producing too much of that? Because why would there be a cap? It would seem like it would be a win-win on both sides.
Right, and that's an example of a law that is really preventing costs from going down, because it's saying, you know, there's this limit and you have to do this and you have to do that, rather than just allowing people to produce it if it would lower costs and if they'd like to.
Now, I know there's been a number of efforts, whether you mentioned the wind farms and biomass generation for energy, you know, solar panels, obviously, and there's been, you know, some foothold taken there. Where, you know, I know they've got a project that they've been tossing around there over in the Village of Lawns, but we haven't seen anything large scale. What has been the roadblocks? Because, you know, a lot of people would agree with that conclusion as well. We need more alternative energy options so that we don't have to get everything from, you know, one source or from new power plants, whatever it might be. And we have all of this availability of natural resources in this area, yet nothing has happened on any large scale.
Well, another thing that goes along with bringing in new forms of energy like wind or solar is there has to be people who would use it too. And right now, I mean, there are people that live here that would benefit from it, and there would be businesses that would benefit from it. But if we had industry and we had more people who would consume more amounts of the energy, I think it'd be more likely for things to happen. But then again, businesses won't move here unless the energy is guaranteed, you know, unless it's guaranteed that they'll have enough to operate their mine or their factory. So it's kind of a, you know, they go hand in hand. They're really related to each other. If you want more industry, you need the energy. But if you want larger amounts of energy that would be cheaper, you also need industry that would utilize it.
Is that one of your findings, too, is that there was economically the area suffers because it just simply costs a lot to operate any kind of industrial plant here?
Definitely. And interning with the senator's office, you know, we've seen that firsthand. We've reached out to companies who wanted to move here, and some people have told me, you know, we want to invest here, we want to come here, but it's just not affordable at the time being because of the energy costs. And it's a roadblock to, you know, economic prosperity and growth in the UP for sure.
Our other roadblocks would be the lack of broadband connectivity here in the area, and also just simply our location. It just takes a lot to ship anything up here. Where would the energy costs fit if you were to rank them with those other two major obstacles?
Well, I think currently energy would be number one because, you know, if you want to have internet, you want to have big computer systems, you'll need a lot of power, and you'll need energy to run your businesses, to heat them, to cool the computer businesses. So I think energy would be number one. And if you talk to people who want to move here or companies who want to invest here, they'd say the same thing. But like you said, it's not only energy. You know, there's other roadblocks like the internet and access to other things just because of our location. Sometimes it's difficult to get. But I think energy would be the first step in bringing those things here, because without the energy, you know, it'd be hard to bring a broadband internet or bigger businesses, especially in the computer industry here.
When you talked about explaining the UP energy crisis, and you're just taking a little bit off the title there of your study, sure. Was there anything that came out of that that wasn't already known? And when I mean that is, you know, a lot of people have looked into this. You know, we know we've got high costs. We know some of the reasons for those high costs. The solutions that you've discussed, you know, we've heard bantered about, but when I go back to one of my earlier questions and say, well, what was a real surprise when you presented this information back to the Michigan Conservative Energy Forum, what did they learn?
Well, ultimately what my goal was to kind of put together a lot of the research that's been done in the past in the one document that's not, you know, 30 pages long, that's easier to read, and it's kind of a brief summary. So that was my goal, and I know the people at the Michigan Conservative Energy Forum that I worked with wanted that too, because there's studies about this particular part of the energy crisis. You know, there's an article about that. They kind of wanted it to be into one document, so legislators or policymakers that they talk to have something they go off of rather than having to research, you know, 10 different documents.
Okay, well, I can see how that would be helpful.
Right.
All right, so who would be reading this?
Well, ultimately, I wanted to do this for the people, and for the people who are making decisions. Because, like I said, a lot of people I talk to who have lived here their whole life, they're unaware that we're paying the highest costs outside of Hawaii. You know, for some people, it's become commonplace. They just think that this is what it's like, you know, in other states and in other parts of the country. So I wanted to start the conversation and educate the public so they know that, you know, this isn't normal and that we are paying way more than other states and other parts of the country, and as well as the legislators. I mean, they're aware of the issue, but again, they don't seem to have one piece of information or one document that has, you know, most of the facets of this crisis into it. They just have studies about this here, you know, an article about that there. So really kind of bringing all the information together was my goal.
Yeah, and well, we're well represented by a state representative and a, you know, a state senator, but however, they're just one voice that go down to Lansing, and then, right. Of course, there's so many others in the legislative body. So when you have this information and you're talking to somebody who's not from the UP, maybe they never even been here, but their votes still just count. You know, that counts just as much as Diane or Casperson's, and you're trying to explain this issue. Yep. What is their reaction when they're like, really? Well, how come you guys pay that much?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You know, being in Lansing, it's really easy to reach out to people who are involved not only in the group, but are involved in state government. And, you know, the Speaker of the House, I met with him, Speaker Leonard, some other officials from the group who have other roles in state government, and just trying to make them aware of the situation. Because when I tell them about this and when I explain it to them, you know, they're surprised. They have no idea. They don't know that, you know, we pay the highest outside of Hawaii in energy costs. So it's really educating them and making them aware of the issue. I think that's the first step in actually making a change.
Of course, everybody, regardless of what side of the aisle you fall on, gets affected by our energy crisis and our bills. But do the solutions differ depending on who you talk to, or is there a disagreement?
Well, recently in the past few years, there has been legislation wanting to increase that renewable mandate, you know, the amount of energy that companies have to produce. And it's a pretty partisan battle because on one hand, you have a lot of Democrats downstate who want to increase the renewable mandates. And on the other hand, most Republicans in the Senate opposed it. So I think that when you, like I said earlier, when you have mandates and subsidies and you want to raise them even higher, that will not lower costs, especially for people in the UP. Because inherently it's more expensive to produce some types of renewable energy, large scale. And I don't think companies should be mandated to do so.
But you talked about one of the issues being that there just, you know, there may not be enough profit stream to even get a get an alternative energy program started up here, just not enough customers. Mm-hmm. So is that an area where it may make sense to subsidize something like that so it can get off the ground and get started?
Well, it could, but you have to look at the costs too, because if companies are still guaranteed that profit margin, then it's going to drive up costs quite a bit because they have to produce it regardless of how much it is. So if both are still required, I don't think it's really effective. So you have to look at the profit margins and you have to look at the mandates and the percentages that companies are required to produce. And I don't think having both in place will ever lower costs.
Okay. What did you see as the benefits of the two new power plants, besides the obvious, they'll be here?
Well, I think that it really helps with reliability. If one were to go down, you'd still have another one producing energy. Another one is that it's the engine that it's using is a cleaner engine. It'll be cleaner than a coal plant, which, you know, would be good for the environment as long as it doesn't drive up costs, you know, by huge amounts. And also the location, you have one in the Copper Country area in Berrigo County, then you have one in Marquette County, which is more centrally located. So I think, you know, the main benefit is that you have two plants instead of one, and they're located in different parts of the Upper Peninsula, which may help with costs of transportation and just getting power to different parts of the UP.
But you didn't see anything where it was going to reduce costs?
Not yet. I think it's yet to be seen if it will reduce costs considerably. But I know that, you know, with the past presidential administration and all the regulations on coal-fired plants, that drove up costs quite a bit, and that's ultimately what made the company who runs the Presque Isle power plant close. That was one of the things that made them, you know, consider shutting down operations, was the regulations and, you know, the mandates that were put on by the Obama administration as far as coal goes. So with the Trump administration, I think a lot of power companies are kind of taking a step back and looking at, you know, what's going to happen, what's being proposed, and how will it affect this company.
All right. So this is done, right? Your study's done.
Correct.
And it's available, and you've gotten it in the hands of at least some people that have had, yep, a chance to be able to read it, digest some of it. Anything coming out of it that you see that is actual, say, action items?
Well, a lot of people have been surprised when they read it. They've been angered, some people, and I know some people are already writing letters to legislators, to the Public Service Commission, reaching out to UPCO and just kind of asking, you know, what's going on? How can we help to lower costs? I met with some people who are active in the Copper Country and lowering costs, who meet with UPCO regularly. They have their hands on a copy of this and found it to be helpful in their fight. Ultimately, I just want to spread it so people are educated, so people understand exactly what the issue is, and, you know, offer a few solutions on ways we can help.
Is it available for the public to read?
It is. It is, yep. On my Facebook page, I have a link to it. It's on Medium, which is a blog website. I posted it there. It's been in a couple of newspapers. And then my email is jakepoodle@gmail.com. If you're interested, I can give you some more information about the topic and send you a copy if you're interested.
Okay. Have you talked to anybody who's read it and disagreed with what you've read?
There's been a few people who didn't really agree with the part when I mentioned the government mandates on renewable energy. Some people think that that is necessary. And I think in some cases, it's not an issue where, you know, they're never good or they're always good. You know, you have to look at each situation carefully, not on an individual basis, because sometimes, in some states, the mandates have worked, but in Michigan right now, it's not working because of the profit margin and the mandate going hand in hand.
Well, so I encourage people to obtain a copy and read it online as it is available and make your own decision about that and about, you know, your findings there. Jake, I wanted to ask you while we had the last couple of minutes here. You had this great opportunity. What is next for you?
Well, currently in Lansing, I'm starting my second semester of college, going to some political events, meeting with people who are active in UP politics, like our senators and our representatives, working on some campaigns. And ultimately, I just want to be able to help people up here because I love the Upper Peninsula. I want to be able to live here and raise a family. And I want to be able to live here sustainably and not have to pay outrageous costs for things like electricity or car insurance. It's another topic. Ultimately, I just like raising awareness to issues in the UP, to people in Lansing who may not be aware of these issues, and to the people who make the big decisions downstate.
So a career in politics is something that you're considering?
I'm considering it for sure. I've been active, for quite a few years in different campaigns in the UP, and I really enjoy being able to advocate for important issues and helping people who may not have a voice for themselves or who may not be aware of the issues that are facing our peninsula.
Just like in media where they talk about in front of the camera and then behind the camera, and there's 20 people for every person, 20 people behind the camera for every person that appears on camera.
Yeah.
Would you be one of those people that, would you want to run for office or be a supporting person like you've been?
Potentially, running for an elected position is something that I would be interested in someday. Ever since elementary school, I've been really interested and, follow my passion for serving others, through student council and through different civic groups. And it's something that's really humbling and honoring to do, being a voice for people, especially people in the Upper Peninsula, who sometimes voice isn't really heard in Lansing.
And you lean Republican, conservative, as you mentioned. And so I just, asked because of the current political climate, how does that work out for you? You've come from an area that, is socially Democrat, even though we've had Republican elected officials, but a lot of social issues would tend to be more progressive up here, I believe. And being conservative and with the Trump administration, do you find yourself having to do a lot of apologetics?
Well, what I describe myself as is a common sense conservative and somebody who puts what's important for the UP before my party. There's sometimes where in the Republican Party in Lansing, what they propose, isn't good for the Upper Peninsula. And I'm not afraid to speak out. One issue with the Trump administration was when they wanted to completely defund the rural airports program, and that would shut down almost all of our airports in the UP. I spoke out against that, and I think that would be a bad decision for rural communities. Ultimately, a lot of the goals the president has, I support. I just don't always support his tone, his rhetoric, and the way he communicates sometimes on Twitter.
You mentioned that you did an internship for Senator Tom Casperson. What race was that?
Well, I helped him with his congressional race back in 2016 when he ran for Congress, and I also did an internship with him this past fall in Lansing at his office when I was going to college. Currently, I'm doing an internship with the Michigan Attorney General's office.
Oh.
Doing some work with them, with the Consumer Protection Division, which is a division that helps to mediate complaints between consumers and businesses. And it's just good to get some experience and to meet some people in Lansing and just to learn what really goes on in state government.
Yeah, that's another office up for election coming up then as well as Bill Schuette moves on. And right?
Yep, Bill Schuette is running for governor. The position I'm in right now is just strictly with his AG's office, so it's not political at all, but he is running for governor. And then the attorney general's race is heating up. We have the Speaker of the House, Tom Leonard, running. He's from the Lansing area. And then we have Tanya Shoemaker, who's a senator from Western Michigan, also vying for the seat on the Republican side.
All right. Well, maybe one day I'll be sitting across and talking to, you know, gubernatorial candidate Jake Budula or from some other office. I'd be happy to do that. But, Jake, it was nice talking to you right now.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Copper Country Today. We'll be right back.